Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A lot is being asked of people working in schools.
Teachers have more and more things to do.
The shortage of teachers right now, having to fill a lot of holes and wear a lot of hats, it's very difficult.
There are steps you can take to manage stressful times, whether in the classroom or outside of work.
For me personally, I can disconnect by just being outside.
Laughing works a lot.
Find what helps at cdcfoundation.org/how right now.
Welcome to the Donut Racing Show, where we bring a backyard dirt patch mindset to the topiary garden obsessed podium of Formula One racing. I'm Alanis King, joined by my co-host Elizabeth Blackstock, and Nolan Soulburner Sykes is out at Speedweek on yet another soul quest. So hello, Elizabeth.
How's it going? We decided that since it's just us today, we could actually do something special because it's a freaking summer break. These are the 3 weeks where F1 drivers get paid to post pics partying in Ibiza or DJing if you're Lando Norris.
And because Soulburner is gone, we invited our friends Brian and Matt from the Red Flags podcast to co-host this week's episode of the Donut Racing Show. Hello to both of you. They're doing like DJ pump-up moves over here.
Yes. Yeah,
summer break, baby. About to get in some trouble.
Oh my goodness. So hello, please introduce yourselves and tell us about your week.
You don't want to hear about Brian's week.
There's a lot. You don't want to hear about my week. There's been medical scares abound. My family's in town. People have strep now is the latest. My sister has strep. I'm off of my health insurance and I'm calling the New York State of Health and you know what, but it's a privilege to be here ignoring my problems for an hour with you guys. I'm Brian and Matt is my co-host. We do a little podcast about Formula 1.
Yeah, I'm in England, or as I like to call it in the F1 space, Mordor.
Oh, there we go. How's it going in England?
It's good. It's good. I got recognized the other day. Which That's was exciting. Great. Not trying to flex. You brought up interviewing Jensen Button off.
I did.
I was like, that was a flex. So then I was like, let me flex. As I was literally getting turned away from the restaurant. They're like, sorry, we're at capacity. We can't seat you. And some lady was like, are you the guy from the Red Flag spot? I was like, yeah. As I literally shuffle off away into oblivion. Yeah, I'm in the place where everyone tells me to, stick to NASCAR. I'm like, I don't even know what NASCAR is.
But you were at NASCAR recently, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Before we get to the show, we have a few things to talk about today, including what summer break is and what we think of the season so far. But first, I want our listeners to kind of know, who are you? Why are people recognizing you in public? How did you get into Formula One? Tell us.
We're a couple kids from New York City. who never cared about motorsport a day in our entire lives. And then during the pandemic, we watched the little show Drive to Survive. We're Drive to Survive convertees. We are part of the cult that is DTS fans. And Matt and I grew up together, and we were watching. We both became obsessed with Drive to Survive at the same time. And then we were trying to find a podcast that was fun and talked about the kind of like catty, you know, Real Housewives, you know, drama behind the scenes that talked about the racing, but also talked about that kind of thing, the DTS fandom. And we couldn't find one. And so we said, you know what? Why don't we be the change that we wish to see? Why don't we be the podcast that we wish to see in the world? And we started this 2 years ago, and now it's taken over our entire lives.
I love that.
You know, I got to say, telling people that we've discovered F1 through Drive to Survive is starting to feel like telling people I met my girlfriend on Tinder. It just kind of sucks every time I say it. But, you know, you just got to own it. You know, if you say it like, yeah. if you say it with your chest, it's okay. That's what we were telling someone recently. It's like, it's about how you say it, right? You're like, right. I saw Drive to Survive and I saw Charles Leclerc's punim and I was like, this is what I need. This is what I need every day.
Okay, but on a less funny note, I think it's actually really impressive that when people say, how did you get into Formula One, you say Drive to Survive, because there is a lot of gatekeeping around Drive to Survive, and particularly the female fandom who came from it. And so to have two guys with a successful podcast, when they're asked, how did you get into it, to say Drive to Survive, I would say is actually pretty cool.
Thank you guys for doing like the hard feminist labor for us. I really appreciate it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a privilege of being a guy, is we get more leeway. Like, people are less quick to jump down our throats.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the privilege, is we get to be the one. We get to say Charles Leclerc is so hot.
Yeah.
That's our male privilege, I want to suck Charles Leclerc's. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
That's our privilege.
But Nolan will say that Charles Leclerc is hot, and then we'll have somebody comment and be like, I can't believe the girls are always saying that Charles Leclerc is hot. And it's like,
There you go. It's crazy.
Did you hear the octave at which the person who said that spoke at? Like, it was obviously Nolan.
Right. Yeah, people just can't comprehend it. The feedback that we get is like, dude. Like, you know, we get like, whoa. Not like, how dare you. We get like, whoa, like, bro, like, what are you doing?
Okay, I love that. So you start this podcast. How do you start it? Are you just like hanging out, randomly talking about stuff? Or do you have a list of like all the hottest housewives topics you're going to talk about? How did it start? And also, how did it progress? Tell us about that.
We plan it separately and we kind of hide it from each other.
Ooh, the mystery.
We
try to not talk about F1 if we're not on the pod.
Good.
You know what I mean? We don't want to come in with like a hot take or a kind of fun riff and then be like, we weren't recording. Like, we need to do, you know, it's like we do it all remote. I'm in New York. Matt's in LA. I mean, right now Matt's in England. But normally we're on either side of we're on opposite coasts. And, you know, we were doing race reviews. It was the 2021 season was the first season that we like really actively watched. So we had a lot to talk about. So we were just kind of talking about everything that, you know, the races, and go in with as little a plan as we can. We have our producer, Jenny, who is like usually in the chat kind of keeping us on track and being like, all right, you've talked about this enough. Like, let's move on to something else, or kind of something like that. But we just try to keep it as we want it to feel like you're on the couch with us talking about the race after the race. That's what we offer. We don't offer brilliant technical analysis, but we do offer analysis of like the interpersonal dynamics between GP and Max when they're bitching at each other on the radio. You know what I mean? And you want it to feel like you were on the couch. So ultimately the podcast started because Matt and I were talking about it for like 3 hours anyway. And we were like, why don't we just record this? And that's what the podcast is.
Yeah, and my girlfriend was like, you're too career-driven. You need a hobby, like, to not be a psycho. And now...
And then you monetized it.
But now I'm just a...
And now it's a new obsession.
I'm just a psycho about two things.
Oh, yeah.
And my weekends are gone.
Where there's a will, where there's a will, there's a way.
What have I done?
You open up the floodgates for a whole new thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You really did. That's right. But not only have you grown this, but you've also expanded into other series, because we ran into each other and met each other in person for the first time at the Ally 400 in Nashville. So tell me how you've gotten into other things.
Well, Formula One is famously elitist and a bit cagey. It's been pretty hard to get access. Yeah. And we have found the American series to be a bit friendlier and a bit more open. And they want a little piece of this new American fandom for motorsport in general. So we've done a bunch of stuff with IndyCar, which has been amazing, and we've gotten really into IndyCar. I think the crossover between the pathway from F1 to IndyCar is clean. Mm-hmm. There's even crossover with the various former F1 drivers who are in IndyCar, the IndyCar drivers who are associated with Formula One teams, that the open wheel racing, all of that is been great. So we went to the Indy 500, which was literally the most fun place.
It's insane.
I want my ashes scattered in the snake pit.
Yeah.
Indy 500 is the greatest sporting event I've ever been to in my entire life. It's unbelievable. We had the best time ever. NASCAR, we struggled. But it was our first foray into it. We tried to talk to some of the drivers, asked them a few kind of cheeky questions, and they were not having it.
I did. What did I tell you before you walked into that track? I said they are going to be terrified of you, didn't I?
Yeah. We tried to ask them who was the best looking driver was in NASCAR, and they looked
sounded
at us
like some of our commenters, what?
I think it might be MTJ. And I never thought about Martin Truex Jr. like this until several men pointed out that Martin Truex Jr. is good looking. And then I looked at a photo of him and I was like, I see it. He's kind of dad hot.
Marvin Trucks is a man's man. He's one for the dudes.
That's why all the men like him.
Yeah, Ryan Blaney's for us wine moms at home.
Yeah, they just kind of looked at us like we were aliens. They usually just said themselves, yes. Or they were next question. And then Austin Dillon, I literally almost gave him a heart attack because
right.
So there was this BetMGM promotional thing, because this company that we're affiliated with does work with BetMGM. And I guess Austin Dillon is affiliated with MGM.
Yes.
And we were all supposed to do this simulator.
Oh,
and everybody else tried to go fast and died on the simulator. I just drove it very carefully and completed it. But I also cheated. I didn't follow the pace car. I went around the pace car. I was like, that idiots. And then I just went and I won the race.
Because you went around the pace car.
Because I went around the pace car and I just won.
But he didn't crash.
And I didn't crash.
The rest of us went around the pace car too, but took it flat out and crashed.
So there was 12 other cars. And this was really a difficult simulator. If you just, you were hair off the line, you were in the wall.
Right.
And so I was just I'm just not going to crash. I'm going to win this shit. And I'm not going to wait behind the pace car. And they didn't penalize you, so it just said you're in first place. And then, so then Austin Dillon comes in late. Everyone's like, it's Austin Dillon. Austin Dillon gets in, waits behind the face car, does the warm-up lap, warms his tires up an idiot, doing the little squiggly thing. And then he starts getting passed by these other cars, getting hit, hitting the wall.
Oh my God.
He goes, how did you guys do? And then I go, I won. And his, you could see the panic in his face. And then he looks over at the MC. They're like, he did win.
And then he was like, I'm doing it again. I'm doing it again. I'm doing it again. No. I have to do this again, because I'm not going to we could not fathom that.
That's
that
so
Matt
funny.
Had done this.
And then they're like, dude, chill out. He cheated so bad. He didn't stay behind. And then he was like, oh, okay. But for a second there, they were like, is this the kid from Gran Turismo? Do we need to make a movie about this guy?
real life Jan Martinborough.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Niels That's Blomkamp, right. Come at me.
Is Orlando Bloom about to walk into your house, talk to your mom, tell you that he needs to take you on a trip?
Yeah, exactly. We also had this great PR guy that I loved. One guy just proposed to this girl, like, on the start-finish line of the Ally 400. And it was so cute. And then the PR guy was just like, so cringe.
He said that?
He said that.
He said it so loud.
He said it so loud. I'm like, with his, like, credentials on. I was like, you think it's cringe that two people... this is a great PR moment for you. That two people... declared. Yeah, he's literally like, name. Anyway, those are the two highlights of my NASCAR race. Also, Nashville.
Yep. Nashville's a good city.
Oh my god.
I had
no,
so
I hard disagree. The women there are all on their bachelorettes,
yes,
and the men are all there to storm the Capitol. That's it.
You're telling me that's not a good vibe? It's just welcoming for the
There's
whole
no
family.
In between.
But I was in Nashville and I took a picture of the tractor that has I Got Plowed across the little scoop. And then 2 weeks later, Elizabeth was in Nashville and she did the same thing. That is the beauty of Nashville. The exact opposite vibe of Nashville is
summer break.
Formula One summer break.
nice segue. Well done.
On the surface, looks like what we had in school, except for rich kids, a few weeks off from the daily grind, some much needed time in the sun, unless you were me and a goth child. And they have a lot of yachts and a lot of photo dumps from picturesque locations that I don't think I'll ever be able to afford. This is not just for funsies. It's actually in the rule book, in F1's rule book. It's called the factory shutdown period. And the teams and power unit manufacturers have to stop all operations for 2 weeks. And then they can pick which 2 weeks they want out of the four-week break period. So they don't all have to be shut down at the same time. They just have to kind of tell the FIA when they're actually doing break things.
Yeah, so they have to tell the FIA within 30 days of the start of the championship. So all of this is planned way in advance. There are a few exceptions to the shutdown in the rule book, meaning that teams and power unit manufacturers can, among other things, one, make repairs to quote-unquote seriously damaged during competition preceding the shutdown period cars. So if your car is like messed up enough and the FIA says, yeah, it's messed up, you can work on it. You can also service and assemble running or static show cars and their power units, excluding any current car parts. So we're talking about cars that are not relevant to the current competition. They can also operate and use wind tunnels, computer simulations, and do other activities for projects unrelated to Formula One. So it cannot be related to their team and their cars. They can also do general maintenance, and this is a really good time to do it because the competition part of the factory is shut down. So if you need to like fix something or do software upgrades or whatever unrelated to competition, do it while everybody's gone.
I love how vague that is.
How do you enforce that?
Yeah. How do you enforce that? Do they
like you
have,
can only
like...
fix this part of the car in this way, but like here are all the tools and like nobody's watching. How do you
also
do
like who's stopping me from doing computer simulations on like a Formula One adjacent car that's not at all, I'm not putting it on the track. It's not like
right. What's going in that wind tunnel? Yeah. Is it Zach Brown just being like, I just want to see how I shape up aerodynamically? You know?
I think just like I think you should do that. I would be very curious. No, like it's a good question. So do they have like a few people from the FIA? Do they like draw straws and go, all right, you got to watch everybody during these 2 weeks. Everybody else is on the beach, but you got to be at the factory making sure nobody's doing anything.
Imagine being the FIA scabs. It's gotta be
yeah,
tough.
I know. That would be such a terrible job.
Or they have CCTV all the time, and then like Red Bull loops it, and then you got Keanu Reeves like speed
the Arizona like
Wildcat.
He can see you.
And they
tell
loop
that
the
wildcat behind the wheel to not do anything crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? I feel like so much of it is done on, like, the quote, the honor system, and none of these people have honor.
Yeah, exactly.
Can the FIA really afford that? And, like, who are, you know, you're going to tell Toto Wolff, like, the, you know, it's like you're really, you know, it's, I just don't. It's all done on the honor system. I think there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes.
I don't want to be the guy that has to, like, come up to Christian Horner and be like, actually, you did a little bit wrong here. Like, how am I going to out-litigate
Okay,
him?
But I actually
He's just
going
to yell at me until I back down.
I actually want to be that. Because
I'm not that kind of person.
If I got into a screaming match with Christian Horner, it would be a highlight of my life.
Yeah, I believe that you could do that, but it would be about Chris Angel, and then it wouldn't even be about, you know, it wouldn't even be about him doing something illegal on the track.
He wouldn't even know who Chris Angel was. He would be like, can you, like...
Has that ever stopped you before?
Never. Ask Max Verstappen, it has not stopped me.
You have 5 minutes with Max Verstappen. You're like, great. So that's 4.5 minutes of Chris Angel questions.
No. It was about 5 minutes and 1 second of Chris Angel questions.
The summer break concept. Let's get her on track for 1 second. It became a thing as F1 got a longer and longer schedule. And by longer, we mean more races, not so much like time in between. Because back in the day, the schedule used to like start in January and then there'd be like 2 months off. There are more than 20 races now. That's like far too many. If you look at an F1 calendar, even in the early 2000s, the July and August break kind of naturally formed as things were going. And then, like, why not just make it mandated? Because we love rules.
So motorsport.com recently did a very handy breakdown of summer break, including a section on what team personnel can actually do under the honor system. Some of the departments that can keep working include marketing, finance, and legal. Personally, I think they should get a break. Drivers, they basically just do a debrief after the last pre-summer break race, and then they fulfill any media and marketing engagements they need to do. Then they come back from their yachting and whatever they're doing the week before the next race, and they get on the simulator.
Can you imagine doing like expense reports, like at, you know, 7 o'clock and just seeing a Pierre Gasly thirst trap?
Wouldn't it be awful? Yeah. You're in your damn cubicle and Pierre Gasly is like jumping in the ocean somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone else has seen this, but like apparently both of the Ferrari drivers have been going absolutely unhinged. Like during the like 5 days of break we've already had. Carlos, I heard, was at like a Red Bull party. So already, like, perhaps bad news bears. And Charles Leclerc, allegedly, I heard, was in Corsica hitchhiking rides to the freaking grocery store with
hitchhiking?
Fans. Hitchhiking rides to the grocery store with fans.
Are that you man, reading?
Wait.
That man shed every single brain cell he had before he left the womb, and there's no survival instinct left. He's just having fun.
Does he not realize that he probably shouldn't be hitchhiking with the people who are showing up outside of his apartment?
He also didn't realize that he shouldn't be chasing down watch thieves in a Ferrari, and he did it anyway. So,
obeying every traffic law as he did it, like,
Not past the hitchhiking part. Where did you?
No, that is clinically insane. If that's true, I don't believe that that's. I cannot believe that that's true.
Details of this. I saw it this morning when I logged onto Twitter.
I could see Charles Leclerc would not be the person that I would expect to be hitchhiking. I mean, I have
gotten
lunch.
That's a Valtteri Bottas move.
He was in a nice place.
That's a Bottas move. That's a Pierre Gasly at the end of a night move.
Yes, it is. I could Charles Leclerc. That's a
no.
Dude.
He's touched by the angels.
Yeah, but that's a dude who like wears banana suits. He'll get in
if the car is nice enough. He's gonna get in. If it's like you look like respectable.
Well, he did just sign this humongous, this absolutely humongous contract.
Yeah, why didn't he just like call a Lyft?
Is he on one of these islands where you need like $100 million to just be on the island? And then he's just like, he's just hitchhiking from people he knows are millionaires.
With other billionaires.
Yeah, exactly.
He just sees like a Rolls Royce and he's like, hey, let me in there. Like, I could see that. I could see that. I still believe he has zero survival instinct.
Oh, absolutely none.
None at all. I'm very curious to see you confirm this, Elizabeth. I have only hitchhiked once in my life, and I was like 12, so. You?
That's crazy that you did.
I don't think I've ever done it.
No. Yeah.
Things were different back in the 60s, you
Things
know?
Things were different back then. Listen, I was a lot wilder back then. Where were you going? It was 2 o'clock in the morning and my friend and I decided to sneak out and walk 2 miles to McDonald's because we thought it would be funny, but we didn't make it. And her mom called and was like, hey, are you in the house? And she was like, yeah, totally. And we had to get back to the house very quickly. And oh so God. We just went up to a random home and knocked on the door at 2 o'clock in the morning and said, can you take
this
us back
to
her house?
This is how horror movies start.
It was terrible.
Yeah, I think my girlfriend listens to lots of podcasts that start that way.
Listen. I had fewer survival instincts back then, kind of like Charles Leclerc.
Yeah, but you at 12 is about Charles now. So
yes, exactly. Yeah. It all tracks. Oh, yeah. My goodness.
It all makes sense.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Teachers, administrators, and other school staff play an important role.
Education can be a shining light, and it's really the equalizer for everybody.
You are making a difference in people's lives, including your students.
You can have a really bad day at school and still realize that what you're doing is making a bigger difference.
We are the best profession in the world next to doctors, but even a doctor had a teacher.
Find what helps at cdcfoundation.org/how right now.
While we're on summer break and we have you guys, we thought like this is a great opportunity to just kind of like touch on some of the best moments of our season, because we've certainly had some things happen, such as Max Verstappen winning everything all the time and forever. What are your thoughts on Max Verstappen? Where are you sitting with him? Everyone, I feel like, has a strong opinion. They either love him or hate him, and I want to know where you sit.
Well, he's goated. I mean, he's unbelievable.
There we go. Okay.
I you cannot deny the fact that he's like one of the best talents in the history of Formula One. I mean, the run that he's going on right now, which doesn't look like it's going to stop anytime soon, is probably he's going to shatter every record in terms of like consecutive wins, in terms of this season of dominance. Now the cars are more reliable than they were when Senna was having his, you know, when Senna was setting his records, and, you know, this Red Bull engine doesn't seem like anything can kill it. But the fact that Sergio Perez, who is a very solid Formula One driver, is, you know, literally deceased. Like broke his psyche trying to compete with him. And, you know, we were at Miami, and it seemed like, okay, Miami was where Perez was maybe going to establish himself. That was back in the moment where it was like, maybe we'll have a title right here.
Yeah.
And Max was starting in ninth. Charles went off, screwed him in qualifying. He didn't get the good lap in Q3, starting in ninth. And then, you know, from that point on, it was like, no. There's no title fight. I am Max Verstappen, and you will respect my
skill set. The fight is how fast he can get the title. How soon exactly. In the season he can acquire that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
Well, Logan Sargent is officially out, as everyone's been pointing out on Twitter.
That's so sad.
Wait, what?
He's officially out.
He's officially out of the championship.
He can't win.
He can't win the championship. It's a dumb Twitter joke. Anyway, yeah, that's what I, you know, I think it's undeniable.
Mm-hmm.
I really just don't understand people that like don't like him, but just can't just give it up.
Yeah. No. I'm gonna hold on to my hatred of this man till I die.
Okay, I get that you don't like him as a person. That's fine.
Yes,
totally fine. But to not be able to parse your hatred of him as a human being, but there are people that just they let that bleed into their opinion of him as a driver. Are you one of those people?
You know what? No, I was gonna say go on your tangent, and I will try. No, it's. I don't like him because he replaced Jean Eric Fern.
Yeah, that's literally it.
Like, oh, that's literally it. Jesus.
Let it go, darling. No, let it go.
It's over.
Move on. I don't even know who that is.
Wow. Well, that is crazy. I thought there's so many better reasons not to like him.
Yeah. People have so many legitimate reasons to hate Max.
Elizabeth should have a bond with Max Verstappen, kind of like I have a bond with Max Verstappen, because all three of us have daddy issues. And like, we need a bond here, Elizabeth. His dad left him at a gas station. All right, listen, I get it, but also... cut contact first and then we'll talk.
You got to cut contact. Yep. He's got to quit coming to the race.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, no. He will. That relationship will never, you know, like there's been all these famous overbearing dads and their overachieving sons. And then there's always a break.
Yes.
You know, Beyonce fired her dad as her manager. Lewis fired Anthony. This happens. It's not happening with Josh.
No.
Like,
you don't think it's ever going to happen?
I don't think so.
I think the only thing Max Verstappen is actually scared of is his father.
Wait, are you guys? Wait, he gives it back. He gives it to his dad though.
Have y'all watched the they did this 3-part docuseries about Max?
No, I have not seen this.
It is amazing. It's very hard to find. We had to kind of watch it on Tumblr. in 5 minute segments, 45 5-minute segments, but it's amazing the banter that he has with his dad when he starts giving it back, when they're sparring and he just hits him with a quick
his
pop.
Dad, he'll hit his dad with a quick jab.
He punches his father.
Verbally.
Not literally. I mean, maybe off camera.
We don't know what happens. We don't know what's going on.
No, but his dad His dad will break his balls, and then he'll just hit him with a quick one.
Okay.
Like,
what he can always have on him
is like, you sucked in Formula One, and that will never not be the case.
That's also true.
Yeah. So like, yeah, you were mid AF, and I'm goated. So
wait. So
yeah.
Are you guys? Do you mind if I ask? Are you two estranged from your dads?
Oh yeah.
Like yeah. No contact.
Correct.
Oh wow.
Max, yeah. I recommend.
So Max is still in it, and you're like, I can't invest in you.
No. You can't know how bad you're in it until you're out of it. He's got to get out of it.
Yes.
I don't think he'll ever get out of it.
How did you guys get, like, what's your advice to, like, what's the first step to getting out of it? There's no one step. It's just you stop.
First step, criminal trespass warning. They can't come on your property.
Okay.
Max, I know you have a big property. Criminal trespass warning. Don't let your dad on your property.
You're giving him practical advice. I'm talking about emotional advice.
Emotional. I don't know.
You're like second step.
I think that Max feels sorry for Yas. I think he feels sorry for his dad.
Yeah, but
you can never feel sorry.
You can't feel sorry for them. That is exactly how they get you. It is emotional manipulation. They know you feel sorry for them. Mm-hmm. That's how they keep you around. You cannot give in.
The last thing Joss wanted from Max was for him to feel sorry for him. I think that Max feeling sorry for Joss is like, kills Joss.
You cannot give in. You still can't give in.
I don't disagree.
You can't feel sorry for him.
Yeah,
but
sure. Yeah, I don't know, he's emotions of sympathy.
Exactly. No sympathy, no answering the phone, no nothing. If you answer the phone and it's like a different number,
it's over.
And they say something, you hang up. You don't talk.
You know what his problem is, I think, is he's so not in touch with his shit in a lot of ways.
Right.
I don't think any Formula One driver knows who they are as a person.
Some of them are like at least aware of the fact that there's sadness there. You know, they don't know what to do with it, but they're like, they're definitely aware.
Leclerc is like, I am sad. But Leclerc is the Billie Eilish of Formula
Lando
One.
Lando too.
But here's the thing. What is fascinating, what you do learn about Max in this docuseries is that he like Lewis, both their parents divorced when they were young, and Max, like Lewis, when they were both the exact same age, separated from their mothers and went to live with their dads to focus on their karting.
I
find that so interesting that they both left their mothers and spent way less time with their mothers and like were all in with their dads. Anthony and Yoss are obviously
cool. I need to find this.
I need to find this too.
Freud on this nonsense.
Yeah. Elizabeth, it's very important.
This is what I wrote my freaking graduate thesis on.
Well, also in this doc, Max says that he wasn't. What did he say? That he was.
It didn't affect him at all.
Oh no!
This separation But it didn't affect him. He goes, it didn't affect him at all. Like these high achievement people, they refuse to feel victimized in any way. They just are like they just put it in the back burner and they use it to put a second on everybody else, a lap. So they use it as fuel. But then they asked him, like, did he have any childhood? He was asked if he had any childhood, like toys,
mementos.
And it was his mother's maternity dress that was covered in afterbirth.
What?
Yes.
What?
And he took it to bed with him every night until it dissolved into nothing.
You know what?
So this, isn't that crazy?
Good for him.
Elizabeth has just thrown her glasses off of her face and is covering her mouth
in one respect, he says it means nothing to him. And then he'll also go ahead and say that he held his mother's afterbirthy maternity dress every night as a child.
Okay, but is this maybe like an egocentric thing? Like, I was born into greatness. Like,
I don't think so.
Rosebud thing that we're talking about here. So interesting.
There's also a great like a home video where Max is like on the toilet and Yoss is like, and this is where Max, you know, like, oh, Max is on the toilet over there, and he goes, and this is where mommy and daddy sleep, and then Max goes, no. Like, you slept on the couch last night. And you're like, Yeah. And the dad's like, okay. Yoss is like, all right, moving right along.
Wait, how did they get this? I've been deprived of this for how long?
Yes. No, it's amazing. It is fantastic.
How did they get this?
It's called
footage?
The Anatomy of a Champion. He made it. It's like, he helped get it made. It's like, he's behind it. And it's revealing. It's not like it's not just like a sugar coated, you know, like it's the sugar coat some stuff, you know.
My dad was arrested twice. He spent some time in prison. Yada yada yada. But
whose dad didn't? Whose dad didn't? I mean, honestly,
right,
like,
right.
Why is that bad rookie numbers twice?
Yeah.
I don't really have anything else to say now.
Yeah, I mean, we're fascinated by Max. You know, we're not just like blind fanboys.
Right.
Like we find him to be a fascinating character. The rage, the family history, the greatness that he is at what cost, like all that stuff makes up for Max, which is fascinating to us.
So stay tuned for our deep dive into Max Verstappen's psyche, which is inevitably coming now that I know there's this fodder out there that exists.
Oh, Elizabeth, we need a watch party. We need a watch party.
We do.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we did do an episode about it on our Patreon. You could go to patreon.com/trfpod if you want to sign up and listen to that. We did an episode about that. We break it all down. But, you know, that's if you listen to the podcast first, see if you want it.
Yeah, armchair psychology.
See if you
that's
hate us.
Do.
Armchair psychology is what we're all about on this pod.
Oh, my God.
And his mother's a character, too.
We've been kind of fascinated by another parent on the grid.
Let's go.
Ooh, who do we got?
Oscar Piastri's mother.
Go for it. I don't think I've paid any attention to Oscar's mother.
She just subtweets him all the time.
What?
Well, she,
I've seen that. Yes. Wait, I just found out that
subtweeting is not actually technically what she does. I guess subtweeting is when you talk about someone without actually naming them.
She comments. She names him. She names him.
She just like comments on all of this stuff in this very kind of overbearing, kind of very Jewish, motherly, kind of guilt-ridden kind of way.
Yeah.
You know, like, he said sometimes he tweeted something about, like, I got to buy something for my mom while I'm here. And she goes, won't hold my breath. Like, you told me you were going to get me something at, you know, from Baku, and I didn't get anything there.
What?
You know, she calls him out for, like, using self-tanner. She, like, kind of, why don't you call me more? Kind of, like, you know, saying this kind of stuff publicly. You know, one of the most interesting parts of this season so far has been Oscar Piastri's rookie season. It's been,
it has been great, fantastic,
especially these last few weeks. And you know, there's another kind of potentially toxic parent who's kind of making her way downtown.
She addresses him by his full name. She'll say Oscar Jack Piastri, like on Twitter.
Yeah,
that's so funny. Damn.
And it gets like millions of impressions. Like, I mean, people like.
She has more followers than me. Yes. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, she's trolling her kid for clout.
Good for her. Good for her.
Alanis, I'm really
disappointed
in you.
You say that.
You say that.
In Oscar's defense, his grandma used to add cocoa powder to his Play-Doh, so it smelled delicious. Like, did he eat it? What?
I could see Oscar eating some Play-Doh. That could explain a couple of things.
Yeah. No, he's my new, like, Alonzo's always been my guy. And of course, you know, I was fully wet constantly for the beginning of the season. And then obviously since Canada, I want to say they've kind of cooled off because Brian and I have said that, it feels like Aston Martin like cheated on the test, and then have now been asked like come to the board and show their work.
And they're like, no.
Yeah. They're like, no.
Fernando's blaming the tire compounds. Fernando, I love his excuses and the things that he has to say.
Yeah.
Yes. Like,
Fernando doesn't want to blame Lawrence Stroll or anyone from Aston Martin.
Fernando,
that's healthy. That's good. Yeah. That he should blame the tire compound because knowing him, he's got to blame someone, and he's like trying really hard not to point the finger at Aston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the guy who's giving you all that money. Absolutely not.
Right. Yeah.
No, I mean, in 6 weeks, like, you know, his go-to is like GP2 engine. You know, but
and, we'll, you know, see. Honda's coming in and, you know, they might not want, you know, he's had a bad history with Honda. So he's trying to be a good boy for the sponsors.
Right. But so since, you know, he's sort of fallen off a little bit, I've really taken an Oscar and like he's my new favorite rogue of a character.
Mm.
He's such a off color, not branded Gen Z, you know, complete, like his real personality is like online, and then in real life he's just kind of a meat puppet. I completely love
him. Yeah, I've never like gotten a vibe from him that he has any personality whatsoever. I'm in the same boat. The only thing, like, I'm still looking at his mom's tweets. If you're curious, it's Nicole Piastri on Twitter, and someone tweets at Nicole and says, how's Nicole Piastri right now? And Nicole goes, why? What happened? And it was, I think, it was Oscar qualifying P3. And then she sees a tweet about Oscar qualifying P3. And she goes, I fell asleep waiting for qualifying. So she completely missed it. And everybody is like asking her about it. And she's like, what happened? What is going on?
So she like dunks on him and then goes to sleep and misses his like crowning.
Yeah, yes. That's not the, you're not getting Twitter clout for reacting to your son doing well. You're getting Twitter clout for sassing him. Someone photoshopped him as Saint Oscar Piastri and she responded, good Lord, the real one. This needs to stop. And then the person who made the Saint Oscar pictures said, at Nicole Piastri, sorry for the St. Oscar pictures. I thought you were a fan account of Oscar. I'm new in the fandom. Forgive me, please. And Nicole said, you are forgiven. I'm so curious as to how this relationship actually, like, functions. Because this just feels like a lot. Like, I don't know. My mom
My mom is very proud of the things that I have done with my life, but she is like, I will never follow you on the internet because I just don't want to know that much about you. Oh, like, imagine having your mom just like everything you've ever said, she's going to comment on.
I think the things that surround him are fascinating. Lando Norris being the way that Lando Norris is contrasted with his kind of monotone, you know, just kind of like doesn't complain at all. I mean, on the radio when Lando's like, what are they even doing here? Get them off of my track. And then meanwhile, like Oscar gets like run off the road and then he's like, it's fine. Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah, it's fine. Everything's okay. You know, it's a beautiful dynamic. And they're both just like so tiny and hairless and it's amazing. And they're both so good.
No, Lando has hair on his chin.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, remember
that's
right. That?
I'm sorry, hair.
On his
that's
chinny
in
chin
quotes.
Chin.
Do we think they're going to stay good, speaking of them? Like, is McLaren going to stay good the rest of the year, or are they just going to fall off?
I want to see a third challenger enter the ring. Like, we had Aston Martin, now we have McLaren. In the back half of the year, let's get, like,
Alpine.
Let's get Alpine. Honestly,
now that Binotto's
now
coming in.
Now they cleared out the dead weight.
Now Binotto's going to come in and this engine's about to be lit.
Oh,
how happy is Ferrari? How grateful is, you know, when they do their rosebud thorn, is everybody at Ferrari just so grateful for Alpine right now? For out Ferrari-ing Ferrari.
It could always be worse. Here's the thing, though. I feel like Alpine, yes, you could say maybe they out-Ferrari'd Ferrari. But in my opinion, the most egregious thing this year has been the drivers messing up, not the team necessarily. Like, they are just, they are penalty kings. I feel like they have more penalties than they do points. What do they have? Like, I think they have 57 points so far this year
Alpine?
As a team. Yeah, they have 57 points, and they're six in the standings. I feel like they are probably close to 57 penalties at this point.
I love that, like, both of their drivers are just on the cusp of, like, maybe you just won't race next week. It's
maybe
over.
You'll get a race ban. It's fine.
I also think we have to remember that their engine, I've read, is, like, 30 horsepower down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's not Otmar's fault.
So the only place they can speed is in the pits.
Right. Exactly. Also, the guy who was in charge of their engine project that sucks is the guy running the team.
That seems like it worked out so well for everyone involved. I'm sure that there's nothing that's going to go wrong.
They got fourth last year only because Lando was driving a one-car team. Like, it was a one-car team. So they're not really far off where they should be.
Yeah, I agree. And it's really just been like, I don't know, the penalties have been overwhelming. I haven't really made fun of their team strategy and their team standing this year because I just keep getting distracted by Esteban and Pierre just going wild.
I think, like, personally, I think this is the French way, right? You're going to have a French team with two French drivers. It has to be an absolute disaster. No one can have a fun time. Like, it just has to be a mess.
Yeah, there's just going to be resentments abound.
I was in Paris and we were at this cafe, this romantic cafe, and my girlfriend was like, can I get an Aperol spritz, because it was on the menu. And the French guy, the waiter, was like, do you know how to make that? And we were like,
no that's your job.
he goes, well, the barman died.
When?
We didn't ask
right now.
We were like, did he die? Yeah, did he die this morning? Like, could you not replace him? And then we were like, oh, sorry for your loss. And they're like, we could make you a margarita. That's about it. And we were like, okay. And then I texted Brian this picture. This was not a margarita. This was like, this looked like highlighter.
That's Mountain Dew.
That's Mountain Dew. That's Mountain Dew. It is Mountain Dew. It is Mountain Dew.
Okay, but here's the question. Were they going to bring you behind the bar and have you make it yourself? Or were they going to ask you how to make it and then try? And if you made it yourself, would it be free?
I don't know. The guy literally had a cigarette hanging from his mouth. I remember France. One time they spilled a bottle of wine like on me, and they asked if I wanted to order another bottle of wine and pay for it. You know what I mean? Whole other vibe over there. Yeah. What do you guys think the big story is?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, the obvious big story is Max and Red Bull. And the question is, can they win every race? And like, that is a very common question we have when a team is super dominant. We had this with Mercedes many, many times in the 2010s. Can they win every single race this season? I think is my current question.
I think my big one now is like, what are we doing with Daniel Ricciardo?
Yes, that too.
Like, we just brought this guy in, plopped him into seat, and now it's like, all right, figure it out. And he's not done particularly well, which I think is just great. Like, good for him.
Poor guy.
Wait. It's only been two races.
He's only been two races. He beat Yuki in the first race.
That's true. He did fine. I just don't know. Like, is it going to be enough?
Well, what's he going to be able to like really prove in that car that's going to make them want to give him the Red Bull? See, apparently also I saw this, you know, I don't know if this is actually true, but that the deal with Zach Brown and McLaren was that it was 6 months. He couldn't race for 6 months in F1.
Yeah.
And then I think it was 6 months and 10 days when he replaced DeVries.
Ooh.
So like, I think that they were
very
aware of the clock on Danny and that, you know, like they, you know, there might have been like, let's try out DeVries. And hey, if DeVries is, wow. DeVries sucks, we got Danny in 6 months.
Damn. Okay.
That's cold.
So I do have a question about Danny, but first, does Red Bull win every race or does someone else win a race?
No, they win every race, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Are we all in agreement that Red Bull wins every race? Yeah. I think there has to be a race where something happens to Max and Checo doesn't pull it off.
Checo doesn't deliver, yeah.
If they don't win every race, who does win? Who wins the one straggling race where Red Bull doesn't get it? Is it Mercedes? Is it Ferrari?
It's George Russell. It's George Russell, and I'm going to tell you why. It's because his little behind-the-scenes engineering that he does, where every race he's got some strategy, some crazy little thing, this little like trick out of his sleeve he's going to pull out. It's going to work once.
He's like a little magician.
It's going to work one single time. It's going to be like maybe the highlight of his career, where he like tire strategied his way into a win, where like after Red Bull had somehow died.
He loves a gimmick.
He does.
Yeah.
He loves a gimmick.
I think this is a really good suggestion. So if Red Bull does not win every race, George Russell wins. But does George Russell win with both Red Bulls running and unailed? Like, they're running and they're fine. No. They haven't hit something.
Absolutely not.
Max is 100%. So Max is out. Perez is in and fine.
Okay, so you don't think that there's like some kind of mistake that happens at some point where the car is working, but they made a mistake? No. No. Something has to happen to Max.
I think it might be a mistake.
Running like knocked, like hit and knocked to the back, you know.
Yes.
And running, sure. But like,
I could see George Russell spinning one of them out and not getting a penalty.
Yeah.
And you know,
I think it's fair
and
game at this point. Like, would we give somebody a penalty for spinning out a Red Bull? Like, you know. Like,
I did see someone throw out, I forget who this was. For all I know, it might have been one of you two. But they, like, if after Max claims the championship, he should just start every race P20.
Once you have the championship,
you just start them in last.
I think Elizabeth and I are on the same boat here, so I'm gonna let Elizabeth say what she thinks.
I think we are.
Yeah, what's your take?
Golden NASCAR trucks.
That's what I'm saying. Here's the thing. Max, you win the championship. Go run a NASCAR truck race. Then go run, before you win the championship, it's summer break, go run Tony Stewart and Friends, SRX, Superstar Racing.
Tony Car.
Go run Tony Car. Go run NASCAR. Maybe even run an IndyCar race. Run as many series as you possibly can and say you ran like 10 series and still won the championship. It doesn't matter.
That's a flex.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. That's a huge flex.
I wanted Elizabeth to say, give Eric Verne the seat. Give him the seat. The year.
Put him back in.
And see what the kid can do.
He never got a chance.
No, put Yoss in the seat. Say, all right, Dad, go for it. Go on, Dad. See what
with
you can
the best
do.
Car on the grid, Dad, you have a chance to not be mid.
Honestly, I don't get why he keeps racing after he clinches because, you know, they do this in the NBA. It's like, why risk injury or something.
No,
happening
go risk then. Injury somewhere else. It's the points they get. Go risk injury somewhere
else. Yeah, go race ovals. That'll be safe.
Yeah, that'll be super safe. Dirt late models, please. Dirt late models, Max. Let's go.
Do we think the best talent is being tapped from the feeder series here, or do we think there's somebody being
no,
left
absolutely
out,
not.
An IndyCar?
I was talking to my husband about this, I think, yesterday. Formula One and the super license system is not about how good you are. It is about how well you adhere to the European ladder system. That is exactly what yes. it is. Love Romain Grosjean. Think he's great. He runs fifth or sixth place every week in IndyCar. He was a Formula One driver for a long time. He has not won an IndyCar race yet. That doesn't mean he's bad, like he's good, but he has not won an IndyCar race yet. Therefore, there are drivers in IndyCar who are performing better than him every single week in an open wheel car. Formula One and super licenses reward you based on your adherence to the European ladder system, not based on how you perform in general.
I have a rant on this, and if you want to listen to it, actually, I just recorded a podcast about this exact topic yesterday with my good buddies at the F1 or F Off podcast.
There we go.
I went freaking into it because I definitely think, like, the FIA is just a clique, right? Like, it's just like the Europeans were like, we're going to do our thing and we're going to leave everyone else out. And if you do it differently, you're wrong.
Yes.
It's fine. It's fine.
But who's the guy? Because I don't
Alex
think
Pillow.
Logan Sar-
yeah, yeah, it's Alex Pillow. It's
Alex Pillow. Pillow. For sure.
Yeah.
It's Alex Pillow, and I really wanted it to be I really wanted it to be Pato O'Ward, but
I wanted it to be Pato, but then I
right
didn't
now he's,
to
right
kill
now
his
he's
soul.
Really rocking. Yeah, but now he's really rocking the, like, I'm the Daniel Ricciardo of IndyCar,
yes.
where, like, I'm definitely good and I'm around, but, like, I'm charming, baby.
Yes. You're so right. You're so right. On the topic of Formula One and champions yes. over there, do we think Lewis Hamilton is ever going to win another title? Like, he's 38 now. He's 38, and the Red Bulls
he's
are super good.
He's 38 years old.
Man, that man is 38 years old.
That man is a handsome 38.
That, yes.
Like, he's just gotten younger.
This year is a foregone conclusion. And what's wild about Formula One is, like, 2 months into the season, you can tell when that year is, like, done for that driver. And as they get older, it gets sadder because 2 months in, you're like, yep, nope, no eighth title for Lewis this year. He's going to have to wait until he's, like, 39. Do we think he ever wins another title?
No, unless Max retires.
Max?
If Max retires, then I think everyone says the Red Bull's a rocket ship. The Red Bull's a rocket ship. The Red Bull's a rocket ship. But look how Checo's doing in it. I mean, the Red Bull's good, but is it
have you guys read the Players Tribune article from Alex Albon?
Oh no.
He
talks about this part where the car and the Red Bull is set up exclusively for Max,
oh,
who
right.
has a distinctly
right.
different driving style. And
yeah,
like
he said, it's really
sensitive.
It's like crazy mm-hmm. sensitive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
a video game on like, yeah.
Yeah. They're just like, they're built. The car is a rocket ship for a single driver. Mm-hmm. They're not like maybe
Hell
they
yeah.
could engineer it for Checo if Checo were to become the first driver on that team, but that's not going to happen. Like Max just, mm-hmm. they picked Max as their golden boy and he will continue to be that until whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
Until Mercedes gets good again after another rule change.
Well, Mercedes could get, I mean, it's like, you know, the next reg is 2026. Right?
Lewis is going to be Fernando Alonso years old by then.
Well, Fernando Alonso is racing great and Lewis is still racing great.
You're so
and
right.
And listen, if Lewis's hairline can make the comeback that it made, then I believe
it. Well, I think
champion.
It had a little
I've said
help.
This before.
I think it had a little help.
Well, right. Lewis needs a little help. Lewis needs a little help. It's not just him. He needs a little help from the aero department.
That's so
okay?
true.
Can I say this? Lewis needs a little help, and you know he needs it from Toto Wolff. And I've got to say this. I think Toto Wolff, he's on fraud watch for me.
Yeah, we think
Ooh.
He's a bit of a
came
fraud.
In. We said this Ooh. On our pod. He came in when 2012, 2013. He came in a regulation change. I don't remember the exact year. He came in a regulation change.
The V6 turbo aero began for the 2014 season.
Right when he came in. Yeah. He came in when Braun had designed that car, had mm-hmm. designed that concept. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, I was in charge of that car after that, and I should be responsible for those seven titles. Fine. But I think the sign of a great team principal is if, and a great driver, by the way, is if you can win in multiple reg changes. Mm-hmm. And Toto Wolff, Christian's done it. Christian has done it, and now Max has done it too.
Christian has Christian's won in three different regulations. Mm-hmm.
Lewis has done it. Lewis has won in different regulations.
Yeah,
he's won in two. Mm-hmm. So I think the sign is not necessarily how many championships you win, but like how many different eras you can do it in, because it shows how adaptable you are and how many times you can get it up. Because it's kind of like running it back the same, because you get a good car and you just run it back over and over and over again. That's what makes Vettel a little overrated, right? Because he just won it over and over and over again in the same regulation.
Yeah.
So I think until Toto can prove to me that he can like marshal a group of guys around a concept that can win, you know, I just don't buy it. He did it one time, and you could attribute that to Braun.
This is a hot take. Hey. No, this is good.
I respect it. It's a good take. It's hot.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, also, he's a guy. He's like a tech guy.
Yeah.
He's a He's a finance guy. He's a money guy.
He's a fintech guy. He's a fintech guy who made a couple kind of like cheeky deals and became rich, and then kind of was like, oh, I used to, you know, I wanted to be a racer for a couple years there. Why don't I give that another taste?
He bought his way into Mercedes. They were like, we need money. And he was like, I'll give you guys money. Let me run
the team.
Isn't
that the American dream? That is, yeah, 100%.
Like, I just want to be a dentist racing cars for a living. Like, so I just want to be Toto Wolff buying a team.
Sure, but you might get found. You know, you might get found out when the push comes to the shove, and he's a master brand. Like, the brand is strong. I mean, we go to these races, and every guy over the age of 40 is wearing that Mercedes button down. They're like, I mean, it's no one has a bigger crush on anyone in the Formula One world than like a 50-year-old business guy. And Toto Wolff. No fangirl like Charles Leclerc more than, you know, Dennis from Florida who loves Toto Wolff. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just what it is. And I think that we just think that some of the branding, it's like a little bit on some hollow ground. It's a little bit on a little more sand, built on some sand there.
I get guru vibes from him. He talks a lot about meditation and mindfulness and like,
you have to clean the bathrooms. Cleanliness is godliness, bro.
Yeah.
You know,
he talks about when I go on a plane. When I go on a plane, I turn off all electronics.
Oh, no.
No Wi-Fi.
Oh, no.
And I just sit in my own thoughts. He gives a lot of like read a book a day kind of.
Yeah, yeah. No blue light before bed.
Oh, no. This is so accurate.
He wakes up at 3:30 in the morning for his workout routine, and he's going to tell us why we're poor.
He's on that Huberman tip.
Oh,
yeah.
It's all about optimization. But he just mountain biked down a mountain and broke his f***ing elbow for the second time in his life this week.
Here's the other thing. I want to see him win when he doesn't get to spend more f***ing money than everybody.
Yeah, that's fair. Yep. All right. That's also fair. That's also fair.
So I think Lewis, it's
dependent on Toto. I think if Lewis gets the car at age 41, 42, I believe in Lewis's ability to win a championship with a championship-winning car. The question is whether he's going to get a championship-winning car. That's the question.
Yeah.
And that falls on Toto Wolff's shoulders.
This is deep. Yeah. I've got a follow-up question about the money thing, because there are rumors now that there were three teams that broke the cost cap regulations last year. Who are they? Who do you think they are? Because I've got theories.
Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Red Bull again.
Ferrari.
Ooh, Ferrari.
Ferrari. Ferrari's a big, I feel like because they had the biggest budget for many, many, many years. Like even during the Mercedes dominance period, Ferrari, I think, was spending like $100 million more a year. It was ridiculous.
That's also true.
Like, it was a stupid amount.
But I have a question.
Okay.
Yes.
Isn't this all about, like, how good your accountants are? Because can't you just fudge this better?
Also, probably. Yeah.
Elizabeth, it really depends on how you, like, go about this. Like, I personally think that Red Bull should have hired me, because I'm a master at doing my taxes now, to maximize as many expenses as I can humanly get from my life.
And it's all about like how you justify that and what you allegedly are using it for. They can say it was in catering all they want. But like also, I would have made that convincing.
Mm-hmm. I am shocked that Red Bull let that happen, because Red Bull seems like they are like their Slytherin vibes. They like they would know how to cover up crimes. Mm-hmm. You know, that's
but
kind
that's
of
the
Red Bull's
thing
vibe.
Is they I think they also were betting on the fact that they knew they weren't going to get in much trouble for it. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, no, you're just going to make me pay a fine.
Right.
OK.
Part of
like,
the strategy.
Yeah, well, hashtag worth it.
You don't think the wind tunnel time is enough?
Not based on their performance.
Yeah, we were saying that it needs to be that like they should be able to spend it, that the winner should be able to spend less money the next year, yeah. And the loser, mm-hmm. whoever gets 10th place, should have a higher budget
by that much
in the following yeah. year, and then the yeah. winner should have the lowest budget in the following year.
It should be like the NBA draft. The worst teams
exactly.
get picked first.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fair.
Welcome to Boyfriend of the Week, a recurring segment where we acknowledge who is the best. But we're going to do a little twist. We're going to have who is our boyfriend of the season so far. It can be anyone, anything, a driver, a car, a Redditor. It doesn't matter. Who's good enough to be our boyfriend? We are going to have Brian say his first because he has to leave.
I'll say my boyfriend of the season is Zach Brown, because everyone was hating on him, but he's turned that McLaren car around. And everyone can stop hating on the American god that is Zach Brown. That's what he's my boyfriend of the year. Okay,
Alanis,
my boyfriend of the season is the most pressing, most important, most newsworthy thing that has happened every single weekend since the beginning of the year. Charles Leclerc's intro in the Formula One driver introduction things on TV, where he leans
that's
against
amazing.
The wall and looks, yes. yeah, and looks like he's so miserable, because I have used that image at least 24 times because it's relevant constantly. And that has been like the one constant in my life all year. Thank you for doing that. I don't know what made you look so depressed in the Formula One intro, but actually I do, because it's been relevant every single week.
My girlfriend, like I have like a what makes my girlfriend stop and actually pay attention to Formula One
yeah.
test
mm.
because she couldn't give a f- and when she saw him like lean up against the wall and be his pouty little self, she went
pouty.
Ooh, like she just thought it was hot as f-. Ooh,
that
he's so troubled and complicated, and I want to
fix him.
I want to fix him. Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Wow. That
you
yeah.
feel
yikes.
That.
Okay. Elizabeth, are you good?
No, I want Matt to go. Matt, do you have a boyfriend
okay.
of the season?
My boyfriend of the season has got to be Max's inner demons.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. without Max's inner demons and Max's just ghosts and skeletons in his closet, I mean, this season would be a lot more boring, because he just manages to find problems in the lead.
I love that so
like,
much.
Even miles away in first place, he's just fighting with GP, trying to get fastest lap, complaining about the wind. Like, what mm-hmm. the? He's like, what the f- is this wind? I mean, he's just managing to give us drama and entertainment in what has been the least entertaining season. I mean, I didn't watch these seasons, but I can't imagine Lewis was more entertaining winning by this much.
I honestly don't think so. Lewis is very,
no.
Lewis is very like what needs to be said gets said and nothing else. Like, he's not podcasting.
Text everyone back at the factory.
That's yeah. literally
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Thanks guys. Yay.
Yeah,
we won.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's
mm-hmm.
it.
So damn. I think he's doing the Lord's work for us, because otherwise the leader would be so boring.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I agree. I feel like these are very like deep boyfriend of the season picks. Like, we've got layers to
we've
this.
Got deep cuts.
And Elizabeth mm-hmm. has had like 3 minutes to get something just as deep.
Yeah. I actually, I'm like invested in this now.
everyone's family trauma. I think that's what I'm picking. All of the drivers' family trauma. I want to compile a list of, like, the guys that Nolan says has the juice compared to who has family trauma, and see if there is a correlation here between being a good race car driver and also not confronting your family issues. I need to know now. Like, this is gonna be a study.
Do you think if Max, like, finally, wait a minute, here's a good question. Do you think if Max cut off contact with his dad, he would just be like a few tenths slower a lap?
I would think so. Because suddenly you're not, like, I feel like it's your vibe shift of your entire universe has changed now. The way that you relate to being yourself is different because you've cut off Jos Verstappen. I would be interested to see how that impacts him. I don't think he would be that much slower, though. I still think he'd be really freaking good.
Do you think Max would have pursued something else in his life if he hadn't had so much fatherly influence and fatherly behavior? Do you think he would have, like, painted or something? Do you think Max Verstappen would be a different person without family trauma?
I think what Max Verstappen would be is a mediocre race car driver.
Probably.
Like, he'd be like the Jolyon Palmer, you know what I mean? Like, Jolyon seems like he's got a good family life going on, but he just wasn't very good.
You're just saying that because he pushed you off of a scooter or something.
Well, if he didn't give me a scar, maybe I wouldn't have shit to say about him.
Ouch.
Wow, Jolyon Palmer.
Yeah.
Wow, holy, you sounds like you have some trauma with him.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. No, it's interesting.
I have daddy issues with Jolyon Palmer.
I don't think Max even, I think Jos incepted him, because he talks about this in the docu-series.
Oh,
he
no.
goes, you know, he says, you know, I used to take him karting, and he goes, in the beginning I had to make it fun for him.
Huh. I had to manipulate him into liking it.
Yeah, exactly.
How did he make it fun? You can have dinner if you win.
No, he knew. No. Because when Max was very little, like a child, like a baby, like when he was 3 or 4, he treated it like a fun game.
Oh no!
And then when he got a little bit more mature, he tightened the screws.
Oh no! Oh, that's terrifying.
So he honey trapped.
It's like baby Gronk. Mm. This is like baby Gronk vibes. Wow, this has been incredibly enlightening. What a deep dive into everyone's psyches, including our own. Thank y'all so much for coming on the show. And thank you, all of our listeners, for listening. We'll be back next week to talk about how technology changes Formula One. That's really exciting. Elizabeth wrote the whole episode like a month ago, and we kept pushing it back because of other stuff. So she's got like all this stuff about tech and Formula One that we get to talk about now.
This was like 5 race car trips ago.
Yeah, this was a long time ago.
In the meantime, make sure to subscribe and tell all your friends to tune into the Donut Racing Show. If you want to leave us a 5-star and kindly worded review, it would really help us out. We also have an email address, donutracingshow@donutmedia.com. Here's one we got recently. We might read your email out loud if it's a good one. Hearing you all talk about Max and GP's communication, it sounds like GP is using reverse psychology against Max, intentionally scolding him about tires so that he goes faster out of spite. Love the show, Santiago. Now, see? He's pulling out the daddy issues.
You know what? We're both very successful, and we both have daddy issues. So maybe there's something here. If you're not familiar with Donut, we have a YouTube channel as well as an automotive history podcast called Pass Gas. You can check them both out. You can follow DRS on Twitter or whatever that place is called now, at Donut Racing Show. And you can email us at donutracingshow@donutmedia.com. I am Alanis In, as in Nicole King, on literally everything except YouTube. It's just Alanis King, and I am uploading there now. How exciting. Elizabeth is Eliz_Blackstock on Twitter, and ElizABlackstock on pretty much everything else. If you miss Nolan this week and you want to see what Soul Burner is learning about himself lately, he is at Nolan J. Sykes.
And of course, thank you so much to our guests, Brian and Matt, from the Red Flags podcast. Give us a rundown. Where can we find you?
Yeah, they find us at the Red Flags Pod on TikTok and Instagram. And we have a YouTube channel where we post our full videos, and our Patreon. there's the link tree on our Instagram that has everything that's our stuff, so that you can find us there.
And because we have been so deep on this episode today, do we have any parting advice for all of our guests in life, in Formula One, in anything? I'm putting everyone on the spot. Stop talking to your dad. I was just about to say, go no contact.
Cut off contact with your dad.
Yeah, cut off contact with your dad. Have a wonderful week. Stop talking to him. Goodbye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angi.com.
A supportive work environment can help everyone working in schools stay resilient.
Just finding people that can reassure me that I'm doing my best and that there are people out there who understand me and can help me through these situations.
You are not alone.
Leaning on each other, colleagues in education is essential. You have to.
We take care of one another.
Find what helps at cdcfoundation.org/how right now. That's cdcfoundation.org/how right now. Teachers, administrators, and other school staff play an important role.
Education can be a shining light, and it's really the equalizer for everybody.
You are making a difference in people's lives, including your students.
You can have a really bad day at school and still realize that what you're doing is making a bigger difference.
We are the best profession in the world next to doctors, but even a doctor had a teacher.
Find what helps at cdcfoundation.org/how right now.